Hello, everybody. You're listening to My Trainer Live with Kathy Dolan. Welcome to our podcast. This is podcast episode number 13. So happy to have you aboard. I'd like to welcome all the new listeners and hello to all my subscribers. I really appreciate each and every one of you. Make sure when you finish this podcast today, this episode, that you review it and follow me on Instagram at My Trainer Live. I want you to know that I see you, I hear you, and thanks for reaching out. I love getting your questions, and I love sending you those answers. I'm recording this right before Christmas. Haven't been on here for a couple of weeks. Things got really sideways and crazy busy, and I just didn't want to beat myself up over it too much, but here I am, back on it. Happy to be back, guys. I've missed you. I hope that during the holidays, you are enjoying all of the goodies. You're enjoying the time that you do get with your family, and that you're realizing that it is not a earn the turkey kind of situation. It's not a earn the goodies and the cookies, that it's a time to enjoy. And I think that terminology or verbiage can trigger some people when we talk about having a turkey burner after Thanksgiving, or going out for a nice 5K run after Christmas, or doing some meditative Happy New Year yoga. Those are just all things that are part of our lifestyles. People that are fit, we just like to put happy celebratory things on these workouts. But I do realize that some people can, like I said, be triggered, and it can be really stressful for somebody who's obsessed with counting macros or calories, but it really shouldn't. I encourage a healthy eating style that flows and grows with confidence in your healthy routine. I want you to look forward to Turkey Day, Christmas dinner and treats. It's really about being grateful and thankful for family and friends, and it's not about calories needing to be burned. Enjoy it all. Enjoy the yoga flow. Enjoy that heavy lift the day after you've loaded up on those carbs. It's a lifestyle that feels good. Call it what you want. It's all good, taken lightly, not something you earn or burn. It's just something you do. So I want you to keep that mindset going. Feel grateful every single day. When you do get out and get those runs, walks, and lifts, be proud of yourself. Don't beat yourself up when you don't get them. I know on social media, Tony Horton got a little bit beat up for one of his posts, and I went to try to find it tonight to kind of read it back to you guys, and I couldn't find it. But he just kind of came on there and laid it out and said, well, when you eat gravy and mashed potatoes, this is what you're doing to your body, and so on and so on. So my gains for this week are I'm back on track. Yes, I'm back on track with my podcast. I've picked up some new clients. I've redid a few of my methods with my training to make myself more efficient. So being a entrepreneur, a business owner, it really keeps me busy. And then my loss for this week, the last few weeks, sadly, we lost a family member, and that was devastating and definitely kept me down low. So just, I would say, hug your family members. You just never know, and be happy and grateful for all the things in your life. So today on the podcast, I'm going to be talking about what stress is doing to your body, how to fix your posture. I'm also going to be talking about you may be doing too many of those HIIT workouts. Maybe you're taking too many classes. Let's talk about scheduling intensities and workouts, especially during this season of holiday celebrations. We might not be getting as much sleep. Maybe we're stressed out. Things are different this year. We're not going to get to see family. We're all quarantining. So that may be causing some different kinds of stress for you. So we're going to talk about that. And then I'm going to give you some signs to watch out that you might be overtraining. And then so many of us, the whole world is on virtual training, right? Virtual classes and training. I'm going to give you some tips to make that the best possible experience for you and your instructor. And then lastly, I got a question about hip flexors. So that's, I'm going to try to cover all those topics today. What is all this stress doing to our bodies? Physical stress is a certain amount is good. A certain amount of mental stress that challenges us and we grow is good. But too much stress, we know, can really play havoc on our body. Besides affecting every system in your body, when you're in fight or flight, your brain, your lungs, your gut, your digestive system, your immune system, your muscular system, your respiratory and heart system, blood vessels, your sexuality, your reproductive system, your posture. Yes, stress affects your posture. Stress is exhausting for both the mind and the body. Remember that when you're stressed out, you might not even realize it, but you're starting to walk with slumped over shoulders, and before you know it, you're in a bad situation. So let's look at your posture. Hunching over is usually associated or symptoms of aging. We're in a digital age, and there are more and more symptoms of this posture coming out in 25-year-olds. I've read studies and seen articles written where women are coming in and going, what is this fat that I've accumulated on the back of my neck, and I'm only 35? And this is all our body trying to adapt to this constant forward motion that we're all finding ourselves in. The very fact that you're listening and you're seeking information and posture is on your radar is such a healthy step in the right direction. And again, I just want to say, I am so glad you are here. I'm glad you're motivated, and I want you to believe that you can change your posture and have more resilience to the stress. Pain is not a badge of honor, and a painful back or hip or neck is something you need to handle. There is a connection of stress and poor posture. Again, stay motivated. Let's get through this, and we can change your posture. Becoming stronger by stressing our muscles is one thing, but we're not going to become stronger by stressing ourselves in a bent over, slumped over position day after day after day. When we sit in this slumped over position, we're putting a lot of stress on our organs. We're in a primitive kind of posture, and over time, it can cause a decline in cognition, brain fog. Slumped forward posture is not good. Reduce stress and get into an upright posture. A powerful posture helps us reduce stress to our system. When we're upright, we're more powerful. It changes the neurochemistry in our brain, and we produce less cortisol when we are uplifted and upright. So kind of like when you smile when you're in yoga and it makes those chemical changes in our body. The same when you stand upright versus slumping. I do remember as a child during test days and finals, the teacher would remind us to sit up tall, put your feet flat on the floor. And there is research that shows we think better, our brain functions better when we sit up and have good posture. There is some sayings out there that when you're all hunched over is a sign of a bad brain. We need to get more of the messages from our brain to our body to our brain. And perhaps if you don't handle it over time, you really lose those connections. Sadly, prevention doesn't sell as well as gadgets and devices and quick fixes, but I'm going to talk about those later on in this podcast, so stay with me here. The very first thing you need to do is get your devices up to eye level. I don't know why that is so hard, but it is. I find myself, maybe I'm waiting in line somewhere and I'm looking down at my phone and I look around and I notice everybody else is too. But somehow or other, we have to retrain ourselves to get our devices up to eye level. And just keep educating yourself on the tools available for you to change your posture. Learn body awareness and how you respond to stress or long hours at work. Number one thing you want to do, and you can do this on your own, you can do this through taking a yoga class, you need to learn to breathe. When you're slumped forward, the diaphragm makes it harder for us to breathe. When we're not engaged with our whole postural system, all of our muscles and our alignment, you want to be breathing where your shoulders move. Control your respiratory response to stress. When you're uptight, there's a neurological change. You can even hyperventilate when you're so uptight. Implement the opposite of a flexor dominant forward position. We tend to gravitate towards that flexor dominant sort of situation. But you can do that by simply getting your eyes up. Did you know when you're forward, you're putting 60 pounds of pressure on your neck and your spine? Such a stressor. Think of a 60-pound weight at the gym. Pay attention. And when you pay attention to your good posture, you're going to stimulate the part of your brain that keeps you alert and awake. Because remember, fatigue drags us down. Just by hearing ways that you can create a powerful posture versus a slumped over posture is going to make you a better leader. Self-leadership. Many of you are leaders. And what are your memories of your childhood? How did you get to this point of being a leader? I did read of an interesting study where they took a leadership study meeting and they took all these leaders that were seeking mentorship and they asked them to write down some memories of themselves growing up. And so one group, they noticed posture, they were slumped over, and the other group were sitting upright. 86% of the slumped over participants wrote down negative memories and adjectives from their childhood. The upright group had an 87% of positive attitude. Is that just crazy? Just by changing our posture in centimeters, just getting upright can change everything. Even when you work out in the morning, it's not enough to offset the ill effects of non-movement all day. You have to add some of these movement breaks into your day. So we want to be working on the rational frontal cortex of our brain throughout the day. Exercise and movement uses the front part of our brain. Okay, so getting more movement in your day, we've talked about that. I am really excited that you're serious about your posture. And if you are, you're going to implement some of these things. You could get the stand-up desk, or even if you don't have a stand-up desk, I literally stack my computer on a few file boxes to get my computer upright so I can stand up. You could take little red dots or little sticky notes and stick them where you're working or where you're sitting a lot to remind yourself to get up, stand up. You could put one in your car. Maybe you're doing a lot of driving. Put a sticker in your car to remind yourself as you're sitting at those stoplights to breathe. All of this will motivate you and re-educate yourself on those new patterns. You can use your phone. Set a timer. This is a positive way of using technology. Set your device with a timer, and every hour or so, your timer goes off to remind you. Stand 3 times the amount you're seated, a 3-to-1 ratio. So for instance, if you're sitting for 40 minutes at a time, working on a project, working with clients, whatever you're doing, you want to stand 40 minutes and you want to sit 20 minutes. Now, during the sitting phase of your day, you can use a cushion, a posture cushion in your chair, or you can sit on a ball. I've recommended many, many, many clients to grab a ball and use that for your chair desk. Now, I know sometimes in the office, there may be a liability, I think, because they roll around the office. So when you're in a group or an office setting, you may not be able to bring that ball in. But if you're working at home, like so many of us now, why not get that ball out and sit down on that ball throughout part of your day when you're working? When you slump over, you need to re-centralize your posture and stimulate your brain. And when you sit on the ball, that's going to create an unstable situation and it's going to cause you to sit up. Otherwise, you'll fall off the ball. You'll roll right off the ball. Anti-aging is strong posture. Optimal posture is optimal health. So get a clear image, a clear goal that you want to do this for optimal health. I just think of a story when I was dating, and when you start dating, you flash back and say, what attracted me to you, you to me, and those kinds of things. And I do remember one time I had a boyfriend tell me, what attracted me to you was your posture. You have this posture about you. And I grew up in the gym and dancing. I started dancing early in my late teens, early 20s. Any type of dance, you learn posture. So that is something I learned way young, and I'm super grateful for that. So searching for a path to better posture, maybe. I think that I kind of reviewed a couple of products that you guys might have come across, and I wanted to just give you a little bit of review on a couple of these products or devices that you could use. Well, first of all, you know that I'm going to say I'd rather you train your muscles and build your skeletal system and do it all through the gym and good habits. I always think back to this story of a client that I had. He was a construction worker and he worked pretty dang hard at his job, and he would train with me early in the morning before he went out on the job with his crew. And he just had the world on his shoulders. He was running this multi-million dollar company, building these amazing homes, and he would come in to work out with me. And I was constantly saying, Greg, pull your shoulders back. Greg, stand up. And he came in initially with some shoulder issues, some spine issues, some low back. I mean, his body was just kind of beat up from his work. And I just so remember him, this was years back, telling me, darn it. Actually, he'd say, damn it, you need to invent something that pulls my shoulders back and just holds my shoulders in place. And I would say, nope, I want you to build the muscles to hold your shoulders in place. Well, lo and behold, there are many gadgets on the market now that will pull your shoulders back for you. I have to say, I've kind of changed my opinion on them a little bit here, but let me get into it and I'll tell you why. What happens when you're working all those long hours? The muscles in your neck and your back extend while the ones in the front contract. And over time, this creates this imbalance and the muscles pull one another unevenly. And this can work its way into headaches and digestive issues and all kinds of things. And that's why I chose posture as one of the top things I'm going to talk about as far as stress. The effect would be minimal if we were only putting our necks and our backs in these awkward positions for a few minutes a day. But sadly, most people spend hours out of alignment. Hours. So any sort of brace or product that you can buy might be a good reminder. But again, I don't recommend it for more than a couple hours a day. So you don't want to weaken the muscles by relying too much on a brace or a device that pulls you into an upright position. So the ones that I'm speaking of, they kind of harness on and they literally hold your shoulders back. When I injured my shoulder, I did buy a device that kind of set the one particular shoulder back and in line, in alignment in it. It helped. It felt very restrictive to me, and I didn't really wear it as much as they suggested. And I'll tell you the one thing it did remind me when I put it on, did I do my PT exercises? So it did have a good effect that way. But there's another one that I think is kind of intriguing, and it's called the Upright and Go 2. It's on my Amazon page if you're interested, and it's a personal posture trainer. And it's a wearable device, and you download the app and then you sync it to this plastic gadget that connects to your phone, and you put it on and you stick it in the center of your back between your shoulder blades, and it monitors your posture. So for example, you lean too far forward, it will intermittently buzz. It'll tell you, oh, upright, you need to get back upright, you're leaning forward. And it can be annoying, but on the other hand, I think it would really push you to your personal goals to train and maintain a better posture with the help of a little reminder. So it is building strength and stamina and good form when it buzzes in, and it reminds you to counterbalance, lean back. You're leaning forward a little bit too much here. Hey, My Trainer Live listeners, are you interested in purchasing the posture device that Kathy is talking about in this episode? Head to classituppfitness.com, that's classituppfitness.com, and click on our Amazon products page to purchase it while also supporting our small business as we receive a small portion of the proceeds as Amazon associates. While on the page, you can also shop home gym, yoga, and live online streaming equipment, as well as workout wear, supplements, journals, food and grocery, wellness, kitchen gadgets and appliances, electronics, and even Amazon gift cards. Head to our training packages page to shop all the programs and gift cards and even merchandise that Kathy offers through the Class It Up Fitness website. Thank you so much for listening. Let's get back to the episode. Easy stretching, regular stretching, mobility exercises, getting up from your desk once an hour to walk around and loosen up. That's so important. That's going to do wonders. So if you happen to take the plunge and put the $99 into that particular device, it might be a really good way to change some patterns that you've developed. And I'm all about breaking and redeveloping and relearning some body movements. So that might be something that you would invest in. If it's posture is hugely important. So if you want to spend $99 and get going on that, I think that would be really awesome. But also make sure you're doing your core workouts, you're getting your Pilates, your yoga, and try to strengthen the muscles that help you maintain good posture. How do you know if you're doing too much exercise? You know, I have a client who just told me this week she's doing 12 classes a week. That is a lot. And what I asked her is, I want to see what classes you're doing. Are you doing 12 boot camp classes, 12 HIIT classes? Are you doing 6 HIIT classes and 6 yoga classes? I really kind of want to know what type of classes she's doing, but 12 classes in a week. When you overtrain with too much intensity, you start to throw your hormones out of whack. Over-exercising leads to these hormonal imbalances and changes. So it can drive you to overeating. Your body can start to burn muscle instead of fat. And then you really compromise your training sessions, all that work you're pouring into your training sessions. And it's going to cause you to hold on to your body fat, particularly in your abdominal area. We don't want to exercise to worsen our health. We want to exercise to improve our health. So you really want to be careful of overtraining, setting those adrenal glands on high speed with no recovery. That's not a good place to be. But we don't want to weaken our immune system. Overtraining, again, depletes hormones, weakens our immune system, can cause bone loss, increase our chance of risk of injury. It's causes us to heal slower, it causes inflammation, and essentially you're going to burn out. So make sure that you are up and aware of all the signs of overtraining. What good is it to look lean and mean like a fighting machine when under the hood you're aging so fast with excessive exercise? That is the art of training. Your adrenal glands give clues when you're exercising too much. So making sure that you're in tune and listening to those signals that your body gives you. Managing your stress well will keep you from secreting high levels of cortisol on a regular basis. High cortisol can cause bone loss and muscle breakdown, create the belly fat as we talked about, increase your sugar cravings, lead to insulin resistance, a pre-diabetic condition that causes high blood pressure. For others, excessive exercise causes low cortisol. Basically, the adrenal glands become exhausted from overuse and they can no longer function properly. Low cortisol leads to weight gain, reactivity to the hypoglycemia, the dizziness, the lightheaded, you're irritable between meals, you have muscle weakness, and you have difficulty recovering from the workouts. Your immune system is getting weaker and weaker, and you're more susceptible to catching a virus or infection. So those of you that have worked out for years and years, you kind of know, you can kind of feel when you're grinding down and you really got to take a break. You really got to pull back a little. You really got to take a couple days and just take some time off from the gym. So toleration for exercise intensity and duration and frequency is unique to each individual. I'm working with people of all levels of fitness. I'm working with seasoned athletes all the way down to the person who's entry level coming in, getting 5 minutes on the treadmill. Then we're doing 10. One must take into account people's general health, their age, their fitness levels. And jumping feet first into elite training program that's not appropriate for you. This is where I'm not a fan of cookie cutter programs. I'm not a fan of an undertrained fit pro putting out all these programs that just aren't appropriate for their clients. It's all about collecting the dollar and increasing your followers. Sorry, rant over. But you want to avoid overstressing an already stress burden system. So here's some watchful things that you can keep looking for if you're overtraining. You start a workout and you don't even finish it. You just feel like you're getting weaker and weaker and you just call done even before your 30 minutes or your 45 minutes. you're starting to lose the leanness despite all the exercise. And I know how that feels to be working out so much and just feel like you're not getting leaner. You're just getting weaker. Overtraining makes you gain fat, especially around the middle. And that's that whole stress hormone causing you to just to stack that fight or flight fat around your belly. It's the worst fat to have, the belly fat. You know, you're lifting and you're sprinting and you're doing high intensity intervals every day. You're hitting classes. You've joined Beachbody and you're hitting 6 and 7 classes a day, maybe even twice a day. You need time to recover. You don't have to do that much exercise to get you to your goals. You just need to spend some time on your diet, get your diet dialed in. You don't need to be exercising 2 and 3 hours a day. Most people just do not need to be doing that. You don't have time to do that, right? You feel wired all the time and you can't sleep well. You're in fight or flight system. Your sympathetic system is in overdrive. You need more yoga. You need more meditation. You need more activities that really drop you into the parasympathetic system where you're actually relaxing. You're feeling fatigued and sluggish and useless, and you just can't lose fat and you feel unmotivated. Your rest and digest system, parasympathetic system, is in overdrive. The rest and digest system. Your joints and your bones and your limbs hurt. You're walking up and down the stairs and you're just kind of groaning. You're getting sick. You're getting colds, little infections, things like that. Overtraining has weakened your immune system. If you feel terrible for hours and days after a workout, you should feel good from the endorphin rush after a workout. You may be overdoing. Now, say you've made some really great results and you don't want to go backwards. You don't want to cut back the workouts because you're afraid you'll lose all the gains or you'll start gaining body fat. Trust me, give it a try. Look at your diet. Maybe you're a little undereating. Undereating and overexercising over time plays havoc on your system. So it's a constant refinement and a rejuvenation of what you're eating and what you're doing. It may be something as simple as somebody emailed me the other day and wanted to know, that was her question. Should I do more HIIT every day? Should I do, you know, honestly, guys, you should be doing the heavy weight training. I know it's the same message I say over and over, but you don't have to do HIIT training every day. It's not going to get you there faster. You're going to do better overall by building the muscle. So say you do have an energy kind of low day, just go in and hit the weights as best you can. Sit down, drink some water between sets, do what you have to do, but get those heavy lifts in and limit your HIIT workouts. Sprinkle in some more weight training and do less HIIT. The amount of time it takes to recover from a high intensity core strengthening, metabolically conditioning workout, an appropriate recovery period is 48 to 72 hours. So there should be 2 days in between something that you have just poured out on a high intensity workout. Next, I'm going to talk about how to get the best from a virtual class or a training session. It is the wave of the future, and so many of you are getting so good at Zoom. I'm super proud of my clients. I've taken young clients and older clients and people that have these nice phones and don't know how to use them. And we have taken many, many people on board through the tutorial to those great virtual classes. You want to be more effective with your virtual training. You want to create the accountability. My virtual training program is just awesome because I know everybody's name. We, at the end of yoga the other night, I turned on and everybody came on and just shared their roses and thorns, their gains and losses of the week. And it just really filled my soul. It really energized me. And because a couple of the gals said, you know, the rose of my day is this yoga class. The fact that I got here on my mat and turned on my Zoom and I did yoga, it just made their day. So, that just made my day. Doing a virtual training class is going to keep you consistent with a scheduled session. If you just keep trying to hit and miss, I'll get the workout in at noon. Get yourself scheduled in with some accountability. Here's my big tip, guys. The bigger, the better. A tiny screen is not ideal. You want to go ahead and invest the $15 and take time to learn how to plug it into your TV and hook it all up. It's so easy to where you're looking at a large screen. You not only see your instructor or your personal trainer, but you see yourself. You can use it as a mirror. I had a client this week go, oh, I didn't know I could split the screen between it's half you and half me. And then she could actually see herself, and she actually really enjoyed the session. Set your device up on an elevated surface. Buy a stand. You know, if you're always propping your device up and it's falling over and you can't, you know, oh, I don't want to show the kitchen, it looks bad, or I don't want to show the bed. Get a little stand and just pop your, hopefully you're using at least an iPad, but maybe you are still using a phone, but get a little stand for it. They're very inexpensive, less than $20. You have a stand. Core work, avoid looking to the side as you're doing crunches, you're trying to see the instructor. Try to look where you position the screen. And again, during my classes, I will have everybody, okay, we're going to the floor, everybody adjust your cameras, or we're standing up, everybody adjust your cameras up. And then my personal training clients, we're always kind of moving around. I'll say, I want a side view, or so you want to be flexible with that, and you want to have the best place to place your camera to get the most of helping your coach see you and you see your coach. Own your personal warm-up. I give my clients three different warm-ups, and they need to do one of those three before they get on with me. So when they are on with me, we can make really good use of their time. Know your surroundings and your surfaces. I had a client say, oh gosh, we had this new carpet and I was doing a class and I bumped the coffee over and boom, they had to have the carpet cleaned, right? They had light colored carpet. So know your surroundings, be careful. You don't want to trip over something. Last thing you want to do is get hurt when you're trying to do a visual virtual training class. Keep a space clear with all your equipment in one place. Please make a bag, a bin, a plastic bin, but put all the things that you use for your workouts in one area. And again, if you're to the point you're ready to have a little private gym in your garage or a spare bedroom in your house, go for it. Even a corner of your room, you could make it into a little gym. Please be on time and stay to the end. I don't really have that problem. People don't escape out early on my, people do come late sometimes, but most of the time people stay the full way. But try to make yourself accountable. Don't skip out. Stay for the whole thing unless it's, you know, unavoidable. Try to choose all your beach body, all the different programs you guys are in, and try to stay well-rounded with variety. And that just backs up to what I talked about earlier, the high intensity workouts. You don't want to be overdoing. Maybe you really love bar, but you don't want to be overdoing boot camp and bar and things like that. Be fair to yourself. Keep it rounded. Interact, ask questions, and communicate. One of the things I say a lot is, give me a thumbs up if you guys felt that, or give me a head shake, or, you know, don't be shy of that interaction with your coach. Just speak up. And again, I usually give everybody a chance at the end, or typically we come on and I'm like, how you guys doing? Anybody want something special today? Because I'm that personalized. If somebody says, oh God, my hips are dying, let's do some pigeon pose, I'll do that. And the same with my personal training and coaching clients that I do one-on-ones or small groups. They get weekly forms to fill out. So before they come on for their virtual session, I'm well informed of maybe a shoulder that has flared up, or maybe somebody's not kind of feeling better, they're getting over a cold. So all that information and interaction, that communication really makes the best of virtual training. Confirm your spot. Be, you know, courteous to your trainer. I have a 24-hour cancellation policy and all those things, but make sure you're following and doing whatever you need to do to stay accountable. And if you are in a program, make sure that you're doing all the homework and you're doing your weekly fitness journal. And that's a little plug to my clients, and they have been so good about getting those journals in. All right, guys, the last thing I'm going to do is answer a question on, why are my hip flexors so tight? Well, the hip flexors, they're deep structures and they're full of nerves and tissues, and They attach at the lowest rib and then they come on down into the legs. Where does your hip flexor rest or feel most comfortable? So do you feel a lot of tightness in your low back? Do you feel a less range of motion? Do you feel a little uncoordinated? Strengthen and stretch is the answer. You want to teach the hips to externally rotate, internally rotate. You want to teach the trunk flexion. You want to be able to do side bending. Neurologically, where your body prefers. Think of like a rubber band. Teach it a new position. If you don't, it's going to snap right back to where it was before. So I always tell my clients, we need to bring your body back to the factory settings. You know, through repetition, through stress, through posture, you may have really altered your hip flexors. They may really be short, and you've got some work to do to bring them back to just a normal setting. But again, in that process, you want to realize that some of it is genetic, and you want to learn to really stretch safely, and you want to get involved with some deep breathing. It takes a lot of time to connect the breath and the brain to help release the tension. And that can be done through practice, practice, practice. It might just sound like another language right now, but the diaphragm moves up and down. It's the large, flat muscle that separates the chest cavity and the belly. So we want to get the diaphragm moving up and down, like it's supposed to. If you have problems breathing and you have poor posture, believe it or not, all of this can be tied into tight hip flexors. You want to activate your core muscles. You want to do those deep inner core exercises. You want to use diaphragmatic breathing while doing your hip motions. Again, connect, pumps that diaphragm up and down, creating space in the rib cage. Do some 90-90 stretches, the pigeon, work your back extensors. You want to work your posterior chain, lots of glutes, good range of motion, mobility, controlling. You want to learn to flip the switch on the parasympathetic system. This is all tied into your tight hip flexors. Use all the tools I've laid out for you here. Breath, lay on a ball, gliding the tissue, stimulate the vagus nerve. This is all related to tight hip flexors. Thanks for listening today, guys. I cannot wait to our next episode. I've got some great things coming up for you in the new year. Please send me your questions, your comments, and I will see you next episode.